And some people had more adventures than others, of course, as Diana Ashworth's description of her parents' epic boat trip across a Norfolk estuary shows us. Here's Dorothy with this hair-raising tale.
In 1968, my parents took their first boating holiday for years without me. They were to collect the boat from a yard in the northern Norfolk Broads and navigate the tidal River Yare downstream of Lowestoft, crossing Breydon Water, a tidal estuary with perilous mudflats, to reach the southern Broads via the River Burr, which joined the Yare estuary a couple of miles from the North Sea. This all seemed quite straightforward in the planning, provided one was mindful of the tides. Jeff had a tidal chart, and they listened to the weather forecast and the shipping forecast every day on his transistor radio. As they chugged into Breydon Water in their 1967 plastic gin palace, Jeff's words, the wind veered from easterly to southerly. On the map, Breydon Water looked like a long, thin lake with a clearly marked deep channel down the middle. The channel was marked by white-tipped green posts on the left, port, and red posts to the right, starboard. The confluence with the River Burr was marked by a yellow post. Simple. On the water, it looked very different. The wind was blowing the rain horizontally, and even the reeds round the edges were blowing in waves. The scale of Jeff's map was deceptive. It now seemed an immense body of water. It was impossible to see where the water ended and the sky began. "I need to keep the green post to port," Jeff shouted to Evie above the noise of the wind and the engine. "I can't see through this windscreen." "Suffering shell ducks. You'll have to get out there and wipe it. I can't see a blooming thing." "Okie dokie," said his game and compliant wife, disappearing out through the hatch, tea towel in hand. "Whoops, it's getting choppy. Great Scott, have you got your life jacket on? Do I have to think of everything?" "What did you say, darling?" said wind-lashed Evie. Her wet head poked in through the side flap. She had wiped the windscreen and it was clear for a moment. "Where's your life jacket?" he asked her. "I've got it on." "Shall I come in and find yours?" she asked. "Too blooming right, you'd better. Wipe the window again." "Righto." In she scrambled and presented him with his orange lifesaver, helping him into it with difficulty. Next, they needed to lower the windscreen down in readiness for the lowest of bridges, and as Jeff couldn't see through it, this needed two people, one each side. So they both went on deck and writhed at the bolts as the next white-tipped post hove into sight. "Is that post green? We're heading straight for it. Get the boat hook. Fend it off." There was a crash as the screen went down, trapping the dangling cord of Jeff's anorak. He pulled. He swore. The post accelerated towards them. "Fend it! Fend it!" he yelled. Now Evie had the end of the heavy boat hook jabbed into the post. "It's definitely green." She was fending and easing herself gradually along the narrow ledge around the boat so that the boat slid along the post, the bow turning under the influence of the wind towards the shallows and the mudflats. "We're going to go aground," shouted Jeff, wrestling to get out of his anorak, which was held fast by his lifesaver. "Get a hawser round that post." "A what?" "A frigging rope. Tie the back rope round the post." Evie embraced the slimy green post and passed the rope around the back of the post, the water swirling beneath her. She pushed herself from the post, grabbed the rail on the roof, and tied the end of the rope to a cleat on the deck. She jumped into the cockpit to switch off the engine and get a kitchen knife to extricate her husband from the clutches of the collapsed windscreen. The light was failing, the rain driving even more heavily from the south, and the tide was, by Jeff's calculation, about to start sweeping them back the way they had come. Back in control at the wheel, Engine started, but in neutral, Jeff ordered his wife to untie the stern hawser. He revved the engine and turned the wheel to starboard, and the bow swung out towards the channel. By the time Evie had scrambled back into the cockpit, they were approaching the next green slimy post, and the next, and the next. With no windscreen, the rain was buffeting Jeff's face, which Evie mopped periodically with the tea towel. "Mind my blooming glasses. Don't distract me, gazooks, woman." 12 or more posts had been successfully negotiated before Evie said, "Oh, look, that post yellow. That's it. That's the marker for the River Burr. Have done it." "What have you done, darling? Can I help?" "Only cross Braden water in a storm," Jeff declared. "I think it's brightening up. Would you like a cup of tea?" said Evie.
Well, thank goodness that all ended happily and the boat has survived to tell the tale.